Joe can't see the clock like I can, so. the watches don't work. So just bear with me this morning, okay? We've had a long and interesting time together, and now we get to participate and take part in the Word of God, which I love. I love, and I know you do too. So look with me. Yes, there we go. John chapter 10. Looking at verses 27 through 29, can a person ever be lost after salvation? I shared the first message about 3 Sundays ago, and we had a few breaks in between there. So I wanted to come back and share one today, and with different scriptures and different emphasis on this topic. So looking at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. Hallelujah. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to snatch them or pluck them out of the Father's hand. Now, the first message that I spoke on this topic 3 Sundays ago was to help us believe in eternal security, because salvation is of the Lord. Now, the second reason to believe in eternal security is the language found in this passage here, 27 through 29. And I want us, I don't know what translation you're reading from, but there's 3 words that I picked out in this, and they are never, any, or no man. And I'll be referring to that here in a few minutes. So, 3 words I think are very important for us to understand what our security in Christ, our eternal life, that will never perish because Christ died for us and we received Him as our personal Savior. And I am very thankful of the scriptures I'm going to be sharing with you this morning that relate to this very topic about, can a person ever be lost after salvation? See, you cannot walk away from this passage without saying, I am not only saved, but I am secure. And I hope and pray that all of you are secure with your salvation that you received. And we just celebrated many of you who made that commitment 60-something years ago, 50-something years ago, and maybe just in less time than that. Because it's very important that we know for sure that we have eternal life. Now, in the Greek, chapter 10, verse 28 through 29 are very clear, where it says give. Or when I say give, it equals freely bestowed upon you. So that giving is very significant, which is important to earn in our salvation. So when God saved you, He gave you the gift of eternal life. And if you have to work for something, it's not a gift, is it? It's not a gift. Now, I hope Steve Ball won't mind me using him as an example this morning, because he is a prime example, isn't he? My church. But just suppose that my fridge went out. My refrigerator goes out, okay? It quits. It goes on to blink. Doesn't work anymore. And Steve Ball hears about it, and he wants to do a good deed, a good favor. So the next thing I know, there's a delivery truck in my driveway delivering a brand new refrigerator. So I'm excited. Brenda's excited. Everybody's excited. And I know Steve is excited because, you know, he's doing a good deed. Well, just a week later, I get this fat letter through the mail with a coupon book, a payment book. I said, now, why? This shouldn't be coming to me. This should be going to Steve Ball. So I called Steve Ball up. I said, you know, there's been a mistake. The finance company or whoever has sent me a coupon book for payments. And you know what Steve Ball says? He says, that's not no mistake. I made the down payment. You got to make the monthly payment. Is that the way it is, Steve? That's it. So I'm asking this morning, is that a gift? No, that's not a gift, is it? Sorry, Steve. But when it comes to the gift of salvation, Jesus made the down payment, the earnest, I would call it, and he keeps up the monthly payments on our behalf. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Amen. Now, Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8. We're all familiar with this particular passage, but it says, "For by grace," and "for by grace," I've got that underlined up there, "you have been saved through your faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." There's that gift. You see, earnest. Earnest. Also, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we know this one too. "For the wages," I've got that underlined, "of sin," the wages of sin, a debt that you and I cannot pay. There's no way that we can pay that sin debt. And that's the wages of sin, of death. But, I like that. "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So now let's look at that eternal. That is very significant for us as Christians, as a church. The Greek word for eternal means without end, never to cease, everlasting, and you have it right now. If you're saved and sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have it right now. Salvation has a present tent. And that's English, right? Present, past, and future. So it covers all of that. So the Bible also says that he that believeth has everlasting life. So in Ephesians chapter 2, the verse I just read, we are sitting with God in the heavenly places. Present tense again. And God has no sense of time. Time is a human concept. You know, we have to make time to do whatever we're going to do within a 24-hour period, and many of us need more than that, right, to get things done. But that's why he is called the Great I Am. And we're already there in God's mind. We're already there because he has sanctified and cleansed us through Jesus' blood. So, by the way, the word eternal here is an exact same Greek word used to describe our God eternally, eternal God. The same Greek word eternal that's used here for us is the same Greek word used for our eternal God. That's awesome to me. They're using the same Greek word here in our text. So, now let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. This talks about our eternal state with God. "For I am persuaded," Paul says, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things, or nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that should erase any fear that any of us may have, or any uncertainty that we might have about our security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul wrote this passage of Scripture, and he says, there's nothing that can separate us if we're a true child of God. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, see, Paul is saying that he's doing a great work. Whatever he has begun in your life, he'll keep working on you until the day of completion. So, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, for I am confident. How many of you are confident this morning? You're confident in many things, aren't you? Well, I want you to see that you can be confident in your salvation. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. And that perfect means to complete or finish it. Just when Jesus was on the cross, he says, it is finished. It is completed. It is perfected. The work that I have come to do is done. And it says, until the day of Christ Jesus. So, when I was a young lad, and when you're working on the farm, you start out pretty early learning how to do work and do chores and so forth. And so, my dad taught me to start jobs, and he also taught me to finish them. And my grandfather, he was highly on starting jobs and finishing the job. And I was taught very well to do that, and I keep that up today. Whatever I start, I finish it. So, if my dad told me to mow the yard, and I'll get so much money, and I decide I'm just going to mow half of it, and I still want my money, am I going to get it? No, I've got to finish. I've got to complete it. And Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for I know when I have believed, and I am persuaded that I am able. Is that what it says? No, he is able, right? To keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So, if we're persuaded, we know that he is able to keep what we committed to him 66 years ago, 67, 68 or less, 50 years ago, whatever time that you committed your heart and life, it will be kept to that day in eternity. Now, going back to verse 29, has given or gave. See, God commissioned Jesus to finish the job. Jesus is perfectly capable of finishing what he starts. He started his journey here on earth. He finished it, and now at the right hand of God interceding for us. See, for example, in the Bible, ships were not motorized, right? They moved along by the winds that blow. And most ships in those days, they wanted them to be in the harbor in the daytime, before it got dark. If not, they had to stay out from the harbor. Well, in order to do that, to keep them safe from drifting out into sea, the one on the ship in charge, they would lower a smaller boat into the water, drop the anchor into it, and take the anchor in to the harbor, and then in the morning, the rest of the ship would be coming in. So you see, that anchor represents a forerunner. Just as Christ is the forerunner for us, John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. He came into this world to forgive us of our sins. So the anchor serves as a forerunner, which guarantees that tomorrow the ship is coming in. And one of these days, you know, we'll be coming in to heaven, where God would greet us personally. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, 19 and 20 says, "This hope we have an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us." Now, we should be excited about that. We should be really excited because Jesus is our anchor of hope. Jesus, our forerunner. And when he left earth, he ascended into heaven. He's already there, and I'm tied to him by the ropes of grace. By the ropes of grace. So, see, it's not that I'm holding out. It's him holding on in my life, just like he is for you. That's God's grace, his unmerited favor, unmerited grace. See, it's a wonderful word that is closely related to the word give and word gift. See, grace is a gift that God gives to the undeserving, not to those who are good enough. And none of us are good enough. That's Ephesians chapter 2 says that it's a gift of God. Lest any of us should boast about our goodness, it's what God offers to each one of us. And grace is too much sometimes misunderstood. So what does it mean to fall from grace? See, it's not to lose your salvation. In this passage I just read, it's in the context, it means to miss the point of grace by trying to fulfill the law instead of walking in liberty. See, Christ doesn't apply to the Old Testament law livers. He applies to the New Testament because of the grace he extends to each one of us, because we live in the New Testament time. Therefore, there's only two possibilities for those who seem to have fallen. Never saved in the first place. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us." Now, that one verse says a lot, doesn't it? About those maybe who have fallen or fallen away or fallen from grace. And this grand statement, in this verse, Jesus summarized the blessing of those who truly listened and believed in the gospel. Those who heard, those who received, and those who accepted Jesus Christ and stayed firm, steadfast in their faith. But those who just listened and went away without receiving, accepting Jesus Christ, are those who fell away from the faith. They were never saved in the first place. So the believer in Christ knows him personally, has eternal life, will not perish, and is secure in his care. Now, but many of those who heard the gospel, according to 1 John chapter 2, 19, who heard, had no intention of truly listening. It is also true that those refusing to listen to Jesus' voice are not his sheep. So we recognize Christ's voice when he speaks to us in the Bible, and we are truly listening for him. We truly listen for him when we speak to him through prayer, and he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, and we can know that we are his. And one way that we can know that we are his, if you commit a sin, and automatically the Holy Spirit begins to knock on your heart and say, "That was a sin to you. You need to ask forgiveness. You need to repent of that." and being faithful and wanting to allow God to be first and true in your life, you will repent that very moment. But if you don't get that nudge, I'd be concerned. I'd really be concerned. We might call ourselves Christian. We might think that we are. But there is a possibility that we've said no to the Holy Spirit too many times that we don't even recognize His knocking on our heart. And when that happens, that's very, very dangerous. So we are to truly listen for His knocking. And there's another possibility. They are saved and God is going to deal with them in His time. See, when facing any temptation, they are secure with God, not because of their own strength or wisdom, but because of God's power, His awesome power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as a shepherd protects his sheep, according to this scriptures here in John chapter 10, Jesus protects His people from eternal harm. And while believers can expect to suffer here on earth, and we will, and we do, and we are, aren't we? We're suffering. I mean, we have pain, we have headaches, we have all kind of things going in our life. And that's part of the physical state. But praise God, on the spiritual side, we're secure. Nothing can touch that when we're in Christ Jesus. See, Satan cannot harm your soul or take away your eternal life in God. There are many reasons to be afraid here on earth because this is a devil's domain. This earth. And boy, he is going to tempt you. He's going after you with everything within him to distract you, to try to get you to turn away and walk away from God. And First Peter. And Peter knows all about this. That's why he was inspired to write about it. Even Jesus said, Peter, Satan is sifting you. He's wanting to see what you're made of. He's really wants to know if you are really connected to me. But you know what? Christ says, I'm praying for you, Peter. Praise God. You know, He is at the right hand of God interceding for us every day. Look what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Just like a nation being on alert at all times against the enemy. We have the radars going on all the time, all around the world. The approaching enemy. The radar, the warning system in our lives as Christians is what? The Holy Spirit. And it's on at all times. And if we're listening, if we're faithful and wanting to be pleasing to God, we're going to listen to it. Be sober, spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil or Satan, the serpent, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour or to destroy or to deceive or to bring temptation in your life. And let me add this. Temptation is not a sin. It's when we yield to it and practice it and fall into it that it becomes a sin. And then Satan, he has you. Now, if salvation could be lost, it has already been lost in your life. The first time you sinned after you were saved. But praise God, past, present, future. When God forgives us, He forgives us eternally. We just got to be willing to confess our sins daily so that we don't lose our fellowship and our connection with Him. So, even by our best, we can't hold on to anything. It's God's holding on to us. But if you will choose to follow Jesus, He will give you everlasting safety, security, eternal life. The eternal, same as what the Greek word for God, the great I am. We are the great part of Him, the I am. And praise God, that's our security in Him. I hope and pray that you know that here today. If you don't, you meet me here at the front this morning, and we'll clear it up. We'll settle all of that with Jesus Christ, because He wants to be your Savior this morning. And He will, and He can be, will, if we're willing to accept His invitation to repent. Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You for this invitation You always give us, the opportunity to make things right with You. We thank You for the security You give us through Christ Jesus. And we can know it. Even 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, if we be in Christ, we know that we have eternal life. And the know is very important. We know it because You keep Your promises. You're everlasting God. Lord, bless this invitation. We just pray that our hearts and ears have been opened to Your Spirit, and we will move upon Your direction. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 371.